Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the Worldview. That's right, this is the Weekly Worldview. It is the show. Well, we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought, and it's so good to have you aboard. The McBurney clan is back in action. We were out petitioning this morning for personhood. Personhood, in case you're not familiar, is an effort to reestablish the God-given right to life of every innocent person and to end the regulation of the killing of innocent people that's been going on for, well, my whole life, frankly. And we went out to a church, and it was just awesome this morning. Got lots of signatures, and just back in the groove. So if you haven't been involved with personhood, please get involved. Whether you can go out and get signatures, whether you can donate some money to the to Personhood USA, go over to their website, personhoodusa.com, personhoodusa.org, personhoodusa.gov. Oh, not yet, but someday. All right. So please get involved. We would appreciate the help. And that would be interesting to see the Weekly Worldview open in the Kremlin. That would be interesting. But we're going to open at the Kremlin. Dateline the Kremlin from the Telegraph over in the UK. That's the United Kingdom. For those of you matriculated in the government schools, that's somewhere way, way east of here. It's really of no concern. Just move along. Russia's Federal Guard Services, the FSO, which used to be the KGB, that's Vladimir Putin's outfit, the FSO is looking to spend about $8,000 on a number of electric typewriters. I said typewriters. According to the Telegraph, the FSO says, quote, after the scandals with the distribution of secret documents by WikiLeaks and the exposés by Edward Snowden, reports about Dmitry Medvedev having been listened to on his visit to the G20 summit in London, it has been decided to expand the practice of creating paper documents. Yeah, typewriters. They're going to buy... Now, they're electronic typewriters, and they're not the old carriage and where you hit the rod and slide it back across. Does anybody even remember those? Some of the young people in the audience are, what is he talking about? There used to be the kind where you'd actually grab the lever and slide the carriage across. That's what I learned on in high school. Initially, before I was expelled from the typing class, because my teacher was a vile heathen. She didn't like me because I had problems with certain science teachers in government schools where I matriculated. I have recovered, though. Anyway, the FSO says they're going to buy typewriters, and they want to preserve secrets, and they say that from the point of view of preserving secrets, they say, quote, the most primitive methods are preferable, a person's hand and a pen or a typewriter, unquote. So there's no electronic fingerprint or footprint or any print so that anybody can find anything. Anyway, I truly believe that because of just the general untrustworthiness of our fellow man, that we may have to surrender many modern conveniences in the coming years unless trustworthiness is somehow restored. Now, there's never been trustworthiness between nations. I know that there's always been spying, but I'm talking about in daily life. Untrustworthiness is on the rise, and perhaps we won't be able to tweet or Facebook or enjoy satellite communications. Who knows? I had a pastor when I was a young lad. He was of the theory. He read the line in Revelation about the Battle of Armageddon. And the Bible says that the blood will run in the valley as high as a horse's bridle, I think. Or a horse's saddle, I forget. But he would quote that line. And his opinion was, well, there's two possibilities, he said. Now, the writers of the Bible, of course, didn't know that we would have modern tanks and helicopters and modern war fighting equipment. And so he just figured, well, it's going to be about this high. That's about as high as a horse's bridle. And it could be that it's just a figure of speech about, you know, a lot of blood. But he said, keep in mind, it's also possible that perhaps armies will again be on horses at the time of Armageddon, as humanity will have literally bombed one another back into the Stone Age. That's definitely a possibility. Just a possibility I want you to think about. How do I know that it's a possibility? Well, let's go to Ynet, the Israeli news service. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he said in an interview with an American television station that he is resolved to block the Islamic Republic of Iran from actualizing its nuclear program. Benjamin says, quote, I won't wait until it's too late. And he's not writing a rap song. It just happened to rhyme. He says he won't wait. And Iran, now they've elected a new, CNN calls him a moderate, CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, Fox News. They all call, what's this fella's name here, Rouhani. I don't have his first name, but that's okay because I probably can't pronounce it properly. They all call Rouhani a moderate. But a moderate in Iran is different than a moderate anywhere else. A moderate in Iran is someone who wants to wait to nuke Tel Aviv until their nuclear bombs have been tested. A non-moderate wants to test their nuclear bombs on Tel Aviv. So there's very little difference, and Iran is moving full speed ahead at breakneck speed to develop a nuclear weapon. And Netanyahu says that Iran is building faster centrifuges. Centrifuges is what I wanted to say. He says they're building faster centrifuges that would enable them to jump Netanyahu's red line. You remember the red line he drew on the bomb? Remember at the UN when he did the little cartoon drawing? He says they could move at a much faster rate, that is, within a few weeks. So they could get these faster centrifuges up and running within a few weeks and jump ahead exponentially toward the red line that Benjamin Netanyahu says he will not wait past. Netanyahu also pointed out that Iran is building intercontinental ballistic missiles to reach the American mainland within just a few years. He says they already have missiles that can reach Israel, by the way. And Netanyahu says, quote, we're more vulnerable, and therefore we will have to address this question of how to stop Iran, perhaps before the United States does. And well, that's just embarrassing to think that Israel has to be the one to stop Iran, when America has been the guardian of liberty and freedom and all that is right and good in the world for the better part of two centuries. And Israel will be the one that will have to stop Iran because, frankly, America doesn't have the political capital, the moral capital, and our criminal government has no intention of stopping Iran, which I can't understand. I don't know why the Democrats don't understand that their kids will be incinerated in the nuclear blasts as well. Maybe we need to send a memo to the Democrats and the Republicans that all of their fundraisers, their biggest fundraisers and all their biggest bundlers are under threat of nuclear incineration by the Iranians. And that might get their attention. Perhaps. Then America would take action and prevent Iran from bombing the world into the Stone Age. Or at least from firing the shot that results in the bombing of civilization back to the Stone Age. Well, let's hope somebody does something, because we're all under threat from these maniacal mullahs over in Iran. I think it's a real threat, and I wanted to give you a little update on it, just so you know things are not going that well when it comes to Iran's drive for nuclear weapons. And I just hope Israel has the wherewithal. I'm not sure they do anymore, but we have to hope that someone does. All right, so that's our international update from typewriters to nuclear devices in Iran. Now let's move back here to the United States. Out in California, I believe I reported on the release of Jerry's Kids. Now, because of prison overcrowding and other liberal policies. I should say because of overcrowding as a result of liberal policies tolerating violent crime. Well, California is releasing prisoners, dangerous, violent criminals, day by day by day. Well, out in Los Angeles, Santa Clara County, well, I guess that's not Los Angeles. Anyway, it's Southern California. Santa Clara County, is Santa Clara Southern California? I hate to expose my geographic ignorance, but please, I'm matriculated in the government school system as well, so please give me a break. If you live out there, you may correct me. Let's just say California. That's a lot safer. Santa Clara County Superior Court judge has granted convicted serial rapist Christopher Hubbard a conditional release from custody. Yeah, and the district attorney of Los Angeles says she's going to challenge this Northern California judge's decision. Thank you very much. Maybe I should have read the whole story before I started babbling on about it. All right, so the judge in L.A. says, wait a minute, we don't want you to release this serial rapist. Now, Hubbard has acknowledged raping at least 40 women between 1971 and 1982, including 26 in Los Angeles. For now, Hubbard, the rapist, remains at Coalinga State Hospital where officials, while officials search for his housing. So we've got a rapist, and the government is out doing an apartment search for him. That's pretty bizarre. They're trying to find a place to put him where he won't be a threat to anyone. How about Death Valley? Drop him right in the middle when it's about 115 degrees. They have a new show called Naked and Afraid where they drop naked people in unfriendly environments. I think this guy should be one of the candidates for that program. Now, listen to this story, folks. If you want just a crystallization of what's gone wrong with the justice system in the past generation here in America, Hubbard was 21 years old when he was first convicted in 1972 of, I don't even want to read some of these charges, but they include rape and burglary and a number of other horrible things. So he's convicted of doing things for which he should have been put to death, but he was sentenced to prison, sentenced to a prison hospital, and then paroled 7 years later. Well, he then began committing rapes and, well, I can't read the rest of these either, the stuff he did, in San Francisco, Sunnyvale, Santa Clara, of more than 23 victims. So 21 he violates, and then he's sentenced, he's paroled. He goes on to assault 23 more victims at a rate of about 2 victims per month, until November of 1981. In 1982, Hubbard was again convicted and sentenced to 16 years in prison, and then he was paroled again in 1990. 2 months after he was paroled, he was arrested and convicted of attacking a jogger. His prison term was due to end in 1996, but he was instead admitted to another state hospital under a new law that allowed sexually violent predators to be civilly committed for treatment. He was committed for treatment. Come on in, Mr. Hubbard. Sit down on the couch. Tell me about your mom. Tell me about your dad. Let's find the root of your problems. Are you angry? Were you bullied? Write it all down. It's part of the treatment. So he's treated, so he's committed for treatment. Now, Hubbard's latest release, this is according to NBC in Los Angeles, is the final phase of a multi-step treatment process that ends with a conditional release back into the community. The old catch-and-release program, as first documented by talk show host and pastor Bob Enyart some 20 years ago. Well, the LADA wants to keep this serial rapist in at least in the hospital. And, but the law is what it is out in California. The law is an ass in California, and They've got him on the fast track to be released if they can find a place to put him. And nobody wants him in their backyard. Nobody wants him in their front yard. Nobody wants him anywhere around their house. I'm your host, Doug McBurney, along with my extremely attractive audio engineer. Yeah, glad to be back with you. That was a disturbing tale. This is even more disturbing. We go to the domestic tranquility file from Breitbart. Robert Van Marshall was arrested at the Athens Super 8 Motel. Someone had called saying he was suicidal, armed, and threatening to kill his wife and children. Yeah. And so he was arrested. Also, officers also discovered an active order of protection against him. So they arrested him on charges of narcotics and firearms there at the Super 8. Now, he was then released after making bond. He was released at 1:27 p.m. At about 1:38 p.m. that same day, a call came in from his wife, Melissa, claiming that her husband was attempting to get inside their home. With police on the way, according to Breitbart, she told dispatchers that Robert Marshall had forced his way inside the house and she had shot him dead. Yeah, police found the front door kicked in at the home, and they found Robert in a back bedroom with a fatal gunshot wound to his chest delivered by his wife 9 minutes after he was released from. Now, there is an effective strategy against the catch-and-release program executed by, the victim in this case. Now, it's horrifying and tragic that the justice system would put Ms. Marshall in this situation. But I would have to say that she did handle it appropriately. According to Breitbart, at last report, no charges have been filed against Melissa Marshall, the wife. So, this is the actual state of fatherhood in too much of America. This is happening far too often. Far too often. I don't think this is tolerable. But apparently there are a number of lawyers and judges who think it is tolerable because they make a pretty handsome living processing the catch-and-release perverts and maniacs and drug-crazed killers. Well, they make a pretty good living doing it, so they expect us to tolerate it. And apparently Melissa Marshall was not set to tolerate it. And therefore, she is alive, and her children are alive, at least at last report. I mean, she lives in America, where the justice system catches and releases maniacs all the time. So every day is a gift, and every day is unsure. But at last report, she's alive, her children are alive, and this maniac is dead. And he will be unable to employ any more lawyers. So the legal community is quite sad that Robert Van Marshall is no longer available to be processed in and out of the system. And, well, I just thank God. I thank God and heaven above that this mom and wife was able to thwart the justice system. All right, now, on to even bigger, deeper issues. We go into the culture file. A report from the Daily Mail in the United Kingdom tells us that the birth rate in the United States continues to fall. It's been steadily declining. Well, for the past several years, since 2007, when there were a record 4.3 million births in the United States, the number of births has been declining, with just barely 4 million births in 2012, and that's the lowest number since 1998, and there's a lot more people. There's a lot more people of childbearing age than there were in 1998, but they're having a lot fewer children. The Daily Mail reports that the birth rate hit an all-time low in 2011, and it looks like it's staying there in 2012. They go on to give all these birth statistics, how many births per 1,000 women age 15 to 44, how many women, all these numbers are put together by the Centers for Disease Control, why is the Centers for Disease Control tracking births? Is pregnancy now a disease? Well, I think in the minds of some liberals, it is a disease. And I think young people are being taught that children are inconvenient, expensive, difficult, and practically a disease, like a fungus under your toenail, or a tumor, something to be removed and blotted out. And that just doesn't bode well for the future of Western civilization. Now, I'm sitting in my daughter's karate class the other day, preparing for the show, as she was sparring with a black belt. My daughter, my 11-year-old daughter, was sparring with a 17-year-old black belt. She was holding her own. She took a few shots. She was holding her own. And I'm in the lobby, and I'm preparing for the show, and I'm looking at this story when another parent is reading the article over my shoulder. And he said, "What are you? Are you a student or a professor?" And I said, "No, I'm just a preacher. I'm just a preacher." The headline reads, by the way, "Global population growing faster than expected, UN says." That's the way they write headlines. Things are all out of order. The UN, that's what we call the United Nations here, just in case you're new to the show. The UN says global population is growing faster than expected, and I'm underlining things and I'm taking notes, and this fellow assumes that I'm either a student or a professor or something. And I said, "No, I'm just a preacher. And I do a little radio show, and I'm just preparing for the show." And I said, "This article, by the way," this fella happened to be black, by the way. This other parent at karate happened to be a black fella. And I said, "The gist of this whole article is that we need to kill more black people in Africa." And his eyes kind of got big because, you know, how often does a white guy even say anything like that to a black fella anymore? But I just said, "The whole gist of the article is that we need to kill more black people in Africa." I said, "I find it disturbing that the liberal media here in America freaks out over racially based charges and things like the Trayvon Martin case, but they never bat an eye when sociologists and charity groups call for the killing of more black Africans." And his jaw, he didn't know what to say. He turned around and started videotaping his kid on his phone in the karate class. He kept telling her, "Hands, hands, keep your hands up, keep your hands up." Anyway, well, let's get to the article. In advance of World Population Day, that's the day when the United Nations and all the other black-robed demonic priests and priestesses of the secular government plot ways to kill more minority people around the world. That's World Population Day over at the UN. Well, in advance of World Population Day, UN demographers have once again revised official projections upwards. They say they don't mean to be alarmist, but the statistics can be startling. In Nigeria, I said, a nation only slightly larger than Texas, is now on track to surpass the United States as the world's third most populous country by 2050. So many black people being born. So many black people alive in Africa. We don't mean to be alarming, but the statistics are startling, says the undemographers. They say the number of people living on the African continent is set to nearly quadruple by the end of the century. The world's population is on track to reach 9.6 billion people by mid-century and 11 billion by 2100. And that's 700 million more than was projected just 2 years ago. So while here in the United States, the UN is probably very happy, and all the black-robed priests and priestesses of the secular government are quite happy that our birth rate is in decline, and in Europe, the birth rate is in decline. So they've done their work effectively here in the West. But in Africa, those darn Africans won't stop breeding. What are we going to do? Too many black people. They say the reason for the higher figures is that in Africa, the average number of children per woman was higher than previously estimated. That's right. All these charity organizations, population control, Planned Parenthood, all the rest who got into Africa, they just haven't been able to kill enough black people. And they're quite disturbed about it. They note that a seemingly modest change from an average of 4 children per woman to just 5 can produce a dramatic upswing in coming decades due to the power of compound growth. That's right. You have 5 kids, you might end up with 15 grandkids instead of 12. And it gets exponentially worse. There'll be black people everywhere. What are we going to do? The prospect of Africa's population exceeding 4 billion has surprised some demographers. Africa is not following the pattern of falling fertility around the world. And the baby killers just don't understand. They're quite upset. There's an organization called the Population Council. That's an organization that specializes in choking off our progeny and killing children and sterilizing poor people, particularly poor black people. That's what Population Council does. You know what they call this unexpected rise in fertility in Africa? They call it a lost decade of family planning in Africa. That's right, a lost decade. Too many living black people. They just haven't gotten in there and killed enough black people, and they're feeling quite bad about it. In Nigeria, according to the LA Times report that I'm reading, 10% of married women of childbearing years are taking birth control pills using intrauterine devices or other forms of modern contraception. That compares with 72% of married women of reproductive age in the United States. And these people are so twisted and upside down and backwards that they think it's a sad thing that only 10% of Nigerian women of childbearing age are choking off their progeny. Let me tell you, you deviant pervert scum, something. The only thing that is going to save Nigeria from destitution is more people. And it's a criminal statement to say that you want to choke off the progeny of these poor black nations. You people are racist filth, and you make me sick. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which has been dedicated to killing black children for a decade or more, are developing plans to reach 120 million women who don't have access to contraceptives by the year 2020. That's their goal, is to get out there and stop these black people, 120 million black women, from reproducing. The Population Council remains concerned about the rapid population growth increasing hunger and poverty in Africa. They say they're worried about limited food and water and farmland. That's not what they're worried about. These people are cold-blooded racist killers, is what they are. And it's been cloaked in charity and in humanism for so long that they don't realize how evil they are. And they don't realize that what they're talking about is a genocide against a generation of our black brothers and sisters in Africa, who are all living persons with a right to life, liberty, and property, and they're all living human beings, and God cares about every one of them. And they want to kill them and choke them off. It makes me sick. Finally, The latest unprojections say they offer a warning. A warning sign that people in Africa are in more trouble than we thought. We should take population and family planning more seriously. Read that. We really need to kill more black people. You have one black kid shot in Florida, and the entire media goes into a frenzy. Meanwhile, you've got people openly plotting to kill millions of black people in Africa, and nobody says a word. In fact, they call a humanitarian charity. We care a lot. We're back. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney, where we encourage black people, white people, brown people, all people to have more children. Because there's nothing going to solve our problems by choking off the next generation and killing babies and giving women intrauterine devices and blotting out their future. What we need is more children who are loved and who are raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Who are taught that there is an eternal creator God who knows them, who loves them, who cares about them. And they need parents who will raise them in that knowledge. And we can solve an awful lot of problems on the earth, including how to get more food and water and everything else in Africa. Africa doesn't need welfare. It needs more loving parents and more healthy children. And Bill and Melinda Gates should be put on a spaceship and shot out into space. All right. They can take all their filthy money with them, too. And it's filthy because of what they intend to do with it. The bastards. All right. Now let's go to the science really file. The science really file. This is real science. This is from the New Scientist. So let me preface this. I've been watching a number of television programs about the Earth. And its relationship to other planetary bodies, and how incredibly unique and fragile the Earth appears to be in space. Hanging out there in a cold, dark, desolate space is this big blue marble with water and atmosphere and life and people, and it's just incredible. And when you start listening to these scientists describe the other planetary bodies in relationship to the Earth, the balance is incredibly precise. Amazingly so. I was just watching that the Earth, Mars, and Venus all occupy what scientists call the habitable zone around the sun. But Mars and Venus, well, they're not habitable. So really, the Earth is the only planet that occupies the habitable zone, and it's only like 5 minutes wide. It's incredible. And so let's get to this story from New Scientist. Scientists at the University of Liverpool looked at 50 years of GPS and astronomical data to see how day length varied during the past 50 years. Yeah, they said slow changes at the core of the Earth, which is thought to be molten, liquid, hot, well, small changes at the Earth's core can actually lengthen days by a few milliseconds over roughly a decade and then shrink them down again. There's also a 5.9-year cycle due to a persistent wobble between the fluid outer core and the surrounding mantle, which changes the length of days by fractions of milliseconds every year. Just fractions of milliseconds. Now, aside from these regular cycles that have been observed, three times in recent years, our planet's spin has stuttered. Yeah. Yeah, the The stutter lasts several months before going back to normal, and that can affect the length of our days by fractions of a millisecond, give or take. Just fascinating stuff. The planet's magnetic field also undergoes sudden jerks, and scientists think these coincide with the jumps in the Earth's spin, and the sudden changes probably occur when a patch of molten outer core temporarily sticks to the mantle, causing a step change in angular velocity. Anyway, I report all this because that's science, really. And it's interesting to note that the Earth is hanging out there in the middle of space, and it's got molten rock or iron or whatever it is down there deep in the around the core of the Earth. I think scientists might think the core is solid. I'm not sure. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a talk show host and a preacher and a salesman. That's all. But I know that there's all this stuff going on with the Earth, and amazingly, it only hiccups and wobbles milliseconds. It's amazing. The whole thing seems to be intentionally put in a very, very tight pattern that makes it inhabitable and allows life and liquid water and the atmosphere and all that. So I go through this article because I want to get to the science, really, file. And the story from the science, really, file is a show on the Weather Channel called Forecasting the End, which I happened to catch the other night. Yeah, it's on the Weather Channel, and it's all about global warming and doomsday scenarios and how the Earth could fly out of its orbit or tip over or crash into the sun or be ejected out into cold space. And they go through a number of different scenarios of how it could all just end because of, a climate catastrophe or some galactic abnormality that causes the Earth to basically freeze cold. Everybody dies. He dies. She dies. The animals dies. The plant dies. The fish dies. Everybody dies. Scenario after scenario after scenario on this show called Forecasting the End. And I've got to wonder how this affects young kids today. Number one, growing up in a godless culture. And number two, being told over and over by people who they think are someone, because these men are scientists and PhDs and all these supposedly intelligent people
working at the universities,
telling our young kids that the planet could die at any moment, and it's basically it's all our fault, because we have modern day conveniences, and we live our lives. Because of that, it's our fault. The planet could die at any moment, and we would all be responsible. What's a 12-year-old kid growing up in the godless government education system supposed to think when they think that they might be responsible for ruining everything and destroying everything? I think it's a criminal act what they're teaching these kids. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God said, yes, I have the audacity to quote God. That's because I know him. And if you don't, then your opinion means very little to me if you don't know him. But God said in Genesis chapter 8, he said, while the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So God makes it clear that there can be no environmental or intergalactic catastrophe that can destroy the earth. He made a promise in Genesis chapter 8. That's the promise I teach to my children, so they don't grow up nihilistic and in fear that they could be responsible for destroying everything. And all you heathens who are raising your kids otherwise, I've taken to telling liberals when I get into a debate with them, and they can be heated sometimes. I tell them, my children will rule over your children. And boy, that freaks them out. They hate to hear that. They think that's probably the most audacious statement that anyone has ever had the nerve to say to them. I say, my children will rule over your children. And I think I'm going to amend that to say, and your children will be grateful. Yeah. Because my children know God. And so they have a much better chance of not becoming suicidal, guilt-ridden humanists. And they also stand a much better chance of helping your pathetic heathen children as they deal with the mental psychosis that you people are putting your kids into. So God makes it clear in the Bible, by the way, if you read all the way through to the end, that he will destroy the earth and the entire universe when he decides to do it. And he's not going to do it through global warming or global cooling or anything like that. Now, I don't want to take the mystery out of it for those of you who perhaps haven't read the Bible all the way through. But go ahead and read it all the way through. He makes it clear exactly how the earth is going to end and exactly who's going to be responsible. God will take full responsibility. You don't need to put that on your kids. All right, have I said enough about that? It's just about enough of that. All right, now let's move along. How much time? Okay, we're doing great. Let's move to the Remnants of Liberty file. Yes, here in America, we don't have liberty, but we do have remnants of liberty that are visible every once in a while through the fog of the slavery that we've all been put into, the socialist slavery that we've all been chained into, locked into. I was just talking to my daughter the other day. They're building an old folks' home up the street. I was talking to her this morning, as a matter of fact, on the way up to petition at the local, I believe it was Littleton Bible Chapel. What an awesome group of people. What just a good bunch of folks. Anyway, we're driving up there, and I'm the type of guy, when I see construction, it makes me happy. I see cranes, I see earth-moving machines, and it puts a spring in my step. So I notice there's a large construction project. I said, look over there, girls, they're building a new building. And we drive by and we notice that it's an assisted living facility that's being built. And my oldest daughter asked me, what's an assisted living facility? Because she reads very quickly now. It's incredible. She read assisted living facility. I was very impressed. So I told her, I said, well, it's what we used to call an old folks home. Where old people go, and they have nurses and doctors, they take care of them. I said, unfortunately, most of them these days are just giant government money-sucking machines, because most of these old people are on government welfare programs, and they end up in these homes because families no longer take care of one another when they're old and sick. They get Medicare and Medicaid and whatever other disability programs to pay to put grandma in a home, and those assisted living facilities live off the government dole, and it's just all a sad state of affairs. Anyway, she looked at me kind of weird because I think I was just going on and on too much. She just wanted to know what an assisted living facility was. She wasn't necessarily looking for a sociology exposition, but that's what she got. Anyway, I told her basically, I said, the government is stealing my money to take care of other people's grandma, making it very difficult for me to take care of your grandma should she ever need that. Now, how did I get onto this? Oh, back to the Remnants of Liberty file. I apologize. I was talking about the socialist slavery, which we are all chained and locked into. I just wanted to clarify that that's partly what I meant. This story is from a website called FuelFix.com. F-U-E-L-F-I-X. FuelFix.com. And they're reporting on oil production in Texas. You remember the theory of peak oil, that we pretty much know where it all is, we're using it up, and we're going to run out probably by the time your kid reaches 15 so he can feel guilty about using up all the oil on top of everything else you put the kid through. Anyway, so FuelFix reports that in March, Texas oil production reached its highest level since 1984. If Texas were a country, it would be one of the 15 largest oil producers in the world, at which point a bunch of people from Texas said, hey, Texas is a country. What you talking about, Yankee? Back to Fuel Fix. Texas oil output has doubled in less than 3 years. Isn't that amazing? All the liberals tell us that there is no more oil. We can't find no more oil. We're going to run out of oil. We got to start burning sugar cane or whatever. Ethanol. We got to start burning food because we're going to run out of oil. Well, Texas oil output has doubled in the last 3 years. Why? Because in Texas, there is still private land. That's why. Private land and small oil producers. In short, the reason Texas oil output has doubled is because in Texas there still is remnants of liberty. Small producers and private land. There are according to Fuel Fix, there are 835 drilling rigs at work in Texas. That's about 25% of all the drilling rigs in the world are working in Texas. They report that the United States has produced 221 million barrels of crude oil in the month of April, and more than half of that U.S. crude came from Texas and the Gulf of Mexico. Okay, so don't freak out, kids. The whole world isn't going to collapse, and we're not all going to freeze to death, and you're not going to, and our cars aren't going to all run out of gas just because you are excreting greenhouse gases. Don't listen to these liberals, these humanists. God made the promise that he will decide when it all collapses, and it will not be your responsibility. He's going to come in and do it when he's darn good and ready. So don't get on a guilt trip about that. You know what's amazing to me about this story? Is that the resiliency of men at liberty cannot be underestimated. I know that the liberals are dead set on shackling us all to their system as slaves, but even just a few men left at liberty, it is amazing the amount of productivity that they can accomplish and how they're able to thwart the draconian plans of the liberals who want to enslave us all. It's amazing. So don't underestimate that. And that's a reason not to get depressed about things. If they just leave a few of us free, we can defeat the whole lot of them. I mean, those on the plantation, they're done for. Those on the dole, I mean, they're finished. But the continuing existence of even a small group of free men, that means there's still hope to throw off the chains of oppression. So don't get depressed. And not only do we have liberty in small pockets, but we also have the ability to use our minds and our hands and to produce technologies that these liberal doomsayers have no idea. They can't even comprehend what we can accomplish to sustain life. And it's this kind of liberty that will free Africa from the shackles of the liberal slave trade that goes on there now. The people they don't enslave, they kill. And the women that they don't put into shackles, they sterilize them. What we, the Christian men of the world, want to do is to free them, is to put them at liberty, and to allow them to use their minds and to give them good government. We don't want to put them on welfare, whether they're in Appalachia or whether they're in Nigeria. And we want them to have kids, and we want them to have hope, and we want them to believe the promises that God made to all of us. Because that, ladies and gentlemen, is the solution to good mental health and a real future. Now, we don't have a lot of time, so I want to get to this. I got some important stories from CBS in Denver. There's a growing effort to create a 51st state out of parts of the northeast of Colorado. There's a secessionist movement, and CBS reports that it's a result of a growing urban-rural divide. Lawmakers here in Denver raised renewable energy standards for rural electric co-ops. Yeah, they basically said a certain percentage of your power has to come from renewable resources, and the farmers are freaking out. And these rural counties are saying, this is ridiculous. What do you want to do? Put us all in the poorhouse? You bunch of liberal maniacs? Oh, and they also passed the gun control laws that freaked out a lot of free people. So the new state, there could be the formation of a new state. 80% of the oil and gas revenue to the state of Colorado comes from these northeastern counties. Yeah. You liberals, yeah, you want to mess with us? Who do you think funds your liberal utopia, you dopes? Yeah, it's these northern rural counties. 70% of the government school funding that these liberals use to destroy the children of Colorado comes from these oil revenues. Just Weld County alone. 70% of the money that these liberal heathens consume comes from Weld County alone through oil and gas revenue. Now, this new state, they say, would have to draw new water agreements. And folks, if you study the history of Colorado, or the history of the Western United States, as a matter of fact, it's really all a story about who controls the water. And the reason Denver is what it is because a few people early on got control of the water. And, well, I just hope there's some folks up there in the north, if they do decide to secede, which I'm all for letting them secede. I hope there's some folks up there smart enough to outwit the liberals and get a good deal on water. And my guess is, if you got a bunch of oil men up there in the north, they'll bamboozle these stupid liberals. They'll practically steal the water from them. Yeah, you know, all they have to do is say, you know what, we're going to legalize homosexual marriage. They'll give them the water for free. Maniacs. And then, of course, don't legalize it. Got to trick them. We got to outsmart the liberals. Speaking of outsmarting the liberals, Colorado, as you know, has legalized recreational marijuana, and voters are going to be asked to approve two state taxes totaling 25% on all retail marijuana sales. That's coming up in November. And Denver Mayor Michael Hancock wants to add an additional 5 to 10% Denver City tax on top of that for a total tax rate on your recreational marijuana of up to 35%. Yeah. Well, what does that mean? That means there's going to still be a lot of non-commercial marijuana available. Because, number one, it's not illegal anymore. And why would the guys who are dope dealers now decide to pay 35% taxes to a bunch of stupid politicians who aren't nearly as smart as the dope dealers? I mean, hey, dope dealers are just businessmen, and businessmen are generally smarter than the moronic politicians who can't really hold down real jobs. And they'll outsmart these guys, because who's going to, now that it's legal and you can grow it, you can be caught with it. I mean, why would anybody go to a store and buy it? Why not continue to go down to Julio down by the schoolyard and just get it, you know, the same way Paul Simon got it when he was in high school? Anyway, critics complain that severe taxes would destroy this new industry that's been approved. Yeah. But then they realize that they can now grow it and sell it tax-free, and so everyone's just going to shut their mouths and let the liberals do whatever they want. One thing I can assure you about Colorado, the marijuana industry will not be destroyed. That's for sure. All right. Let's go to Lafayette, Indiana from the Justice File. Same-sex couples seeking to marry. Well, they could get in trouble because Indiana's marriage license application has spaces designed for male applicant and female applicant only. Yeah. This is according to the Tippecanoe County Clerk. She says that only one man and one woman may seek marriage in the state. She says applicants for marriage, they sign their paperwork under penalty of perjury. So if they lie and put a boy in the girl slot or a girl in the boy slot or vice versa, she said perjury is a felony in Indiana and it's punishable by prison and fines. So, she says that if you come seeking to marry and you lie on the form, you're committing perjury. The county clerk has warned. So naturally, the homosexuals, the deviants, and the perverts who are hell-bent on destroying themselves and the rest of Indiana and everywhere else are surely going to focus on changing that application as soon as they can. And it's just a sad state of affairs. Although, have they legalized it in Indiana yet? Not yet. Well, so there's still hope, at least in the heartland. One more from the Culture File. I told you about the state of fatherhood with the father who was killed 9 minutes after leaving jail by his wife. Listen to this. A couple in Maryland has decided to allow their 5-year-old daughter to live as a boy. Tyler, formerly known as Catherine, has been living as a boy after his family made a public switch 18 months ago when the little girl insisted she was a little boy. They took the little girl to a psychiatrist who told the family that the switch would be healthy, and he encouraged them to find a kindergarten that would allow them to enroll the child as a boy. A psychologist. Unbelievable. I'm sorry, a psychiatrist. I find it hard to tell the difference. I think they're all just head shrinkers. He says it'd be healthy, find a kindergarten, and there's plenty of them out there, I'm sure. This story from Breitbart says that doctors believe that gender identity usually manifests itself between the ages of 3 and 6. These are doctors. I think your average first-year medical student knows that gender identity usually manifests itself as soon as the baby is born, and sometimes prior, via ultrasound. You freak, deviant perverts. Anyway, this family of deviants and criminals is starting an informal support group with tips on how to help your transgender child. This is legal in America. These people should be arrested for child abuse and punished to the full extent of the law. Instead, they start a support group. They'll probably get interviewed on Anderson Cooper next week. This is the state of parenthood in too much of America. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to speak out when you can. You need to act for the greater good of the public when you must. But most important, you must stop the tide of corruption at your doorstep. Protect your kids. Guard yourself from corruption. Guard your children from a world that is hell-bent on devouring them. There are perilous times closing in. I believe that. And these heathens, I mean, these heathens are going to need somebody to save them. And I'm not talking about salvation or anything theological. I'm talking about physically saving them from each other right here on earth before the final judgment and all that. I mean, these heathens are going to bring things down. It's going to be ugly. And so I'm set on, like I say, I speak out when you can, act when you can. I mean, I'm not giving up on the culture. But more and more I find myself focusing on my own family, as the liberals say. They say, focus on your own damn family. Well, my family's not damned, and it's because I focus on them. And because I don't allow you deviants to get your little hooks into them and focus on them. All right, how much more here? Okay, we got a little bit more time. I'm going to do I got a story on the personhood issue. This is out of Texas from Bloomberg. An open-air flea market down in McAllen, Texas, down by the Mexican border. You can buy pills to end pregnancy. And these aren't your standard abortifacients that are legal now that you can buy in Walgreens. These are pills that are designed to do other things, and they're really powerful. And apparently, according to Bloomberg, flea markets and bazaars like this one down in McAllen have become home to a black market where women too poor to afford abortion at clinics or women who are deterred by mandates such as a 24-hour waiting period can buy drugs to induce miscarriage on their own. Up in Austin, you know, there was a big hullabaloo this past week. New rules were set and passed that might result in the closing of most, if not of all, abortion facilities. And it might make most legal abortion unavailable in Texas. But Bloomberg reports that more women may just turn to flea markets like the one near McAllen and risk their lives using powerful chemicals to poison themselves and kill their children. Folks, this is why we cannot allow the regulation of the killing of children. It's because it changes the hearts and minds of the people. If you allow the murder of innocent children, but you make it very difficult and make it very specific how you've got to do it, jump through this hoop and do that and do this, and then you can kill the child, what you're doing is you are producing a culture of people who believe that it is an option to kill the child. And when that is in the hearts and minds of the people, all your rules about abortion are meaningless. Because when the end goal is to kill someone, it's very easy to lie and cheat and steal to do it. And that's why abortion regulations, the regulation of the murder of innocent people, really does prune the weed and make it more powerful. Not in any legal sense, but in the hearts and minds of the people. It is acceptable to kill children. It is an option. And when you make it a legal option in any way, what you've done is you have set the stage for abortion on demand. Because people are going to do what they want to do, and if they think it's legal, even more so. So you can't tolerate any murder. It has to all be illegal so that people will grow up knowing that it's wrong and children will be taught that it's wrong to kill a baby. That's the only way we can stop abortion, is to teach the children that it's wrong to kill babies. All the abortion regulations do is at the base of them, at the bottom of them, when you dig down to the very dregs of all your abortion regulations, all you regulators, what you're doing is you're planting it in the hearts and minds of the people that it is acceptable to kill babies. And once you do that, all your other rules really don't matter. And all the numbers don't matter. Because if even one innocent child is killed, and you were responsible for that law, well, that blood is on your hands. A well-regulated system of fornication, adultery, and abortion has turned the hearts of the mothers away from their children. And that's not a situation that the government can fix. Government can help. The law can help. But it's fathers. It's men. It's godly men who can stop the Holocaust. That's what it's going to take. It's not going to take rules. It's not going to take regulations. It's not going to take laws. It's not going to take amendments. It's going to take godly men raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And if you don't like to hear that, well, you're a moron. Okay? If you don't agree with that, then you're an idiot. Because it's fairly obvious to anyone with half a brain who knows about human nature. All right, speaking about a bill or a law or an amendment, I finally read Rand Paul's, what does he call it? Well, I don't have the title of it. Senate Bill 583, the Life Begins at Conception Act. I don't know what he calls it. Anyway, I've read it. I agree with it. I support it. And I would walk with Rand Paul. If he were to really get behind this bill and push it and try to pass it, I would walk with him on just about any other legislation he wants. Whether it's regarding drones or the Fed or the IRS or legalizing dope, I would give Rand Paul any of that if he would actually try to pass this bill. In the definitions section, it says the terms human person and human being include each member of the species Homo sapiens at all stages of life, including the moment of fertilization, cloning, or other moment at which an individual member of the human species come into being. So that's helpful. That's helpful in the law, that the law would say that. But it's we, the men, the fathers, who have to teach our children that. That's where the solution to the problem really lies. Now, I have a story here on the new abortion regulations in Texas. I call it an act to acknowledge and regulate the murder of innocent people. That's what I call the bill that just passed in Texas. An act to acknowledge. But I'm not going to talk about this because I believe the definitive report on this bill will be done this week by Bob Enyart and Will Duffy, who've done the research and are in a much better position to speak on it than am I. And in fact, I've gone too far and the show has gone too long. The Dominican Republic is freaking out, according to this headline from foreignpolicy.com, because Barack Obama has nominated an openly homosexual deviant pervert ambassador to the Dominican Republic. Yeah. Well, church leaders are pressuring the government in the Dominican to reject this homo. Yeah, can you believe that? Yeah. And the church is still fairly powerful down there. A Christian church pastor is quoted as saying that Brewster could cause the U.S. promotion of gender beliefs in our country. Isn't that terrible, ladies and gentlemen? That people are now afraid of American beliefs being imported into their country. Why? Because we're being run by a bunch of perverted, deviant criminals. It's just sad. But there are supporters of the homosexual, obviously. We've got Monica Tresans, director of the Spanish language media at GLAAD, says that we hope James Brewster will be able to educate and help educate those who are still adversely affected by homophobia. Yeah. So she acknowledges that the preachers in the Dominican are still homophobic, which is encouraging. Finally, at least there's still a few. I thought I had a quote from... a Democrat, but I can't find it. That's unfortunate, too. Okay, at Vatican City, the Pope has decided to criminalize sexual violence, prostitution, and possession of child pornography. How was that not already a crime in the Vatican? You're telling me that wasn't a crime? The Pope just had to release a new law making that a crime? That's unbelievable. Yeah, that's shocking. All right, finally, ladies and gentlemen, from the Bad Religion file, Madonna's music and shows are going to come under the scrutiny of priests trained in the art of defeating demons and treating satanic possession and looking for the devil. Yeah, at a new conference coming up dedicated to finding evil in popular culture, they say that part of the conference is dedicated to the hidden subliminal messages in communications, and the choice of this subject was inspired by the woman who dares to call herself Madonna. They say, we've been worried about her concerts. That's according to one of these exorcist priests. All I can say is, what do you mean subliminal messages of deviancy and corruption? It's Madonna, for crying out loud. Anyway, exorcists claim that despite European culture becoming increasingly secular, demands for exorcist services are on the rise as people look for unorthodox help for the unexplained. This helps to bolster my assertion that godlessness leads to insanity. That's it. We're running out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back with you next week. I want to thank KGov, Persons USA. I want to thank American Right to Life, my extremely attractive audio engineer, and as usual, my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. I've outrun the music. I apologize for going so long, but I appreciate you listening, and should the Lord tarry, I'll be back with you next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.